Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I've been doing this, I've been going over this since the beginning of the year we started this. Now here's something I want you to hear, is that someone came up to me this week and they said that has been on their heart. Commit. Remember, a commit is the word Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. It's the Hebrew word Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. The place of the skull is where the battle is. The place of the skull is where Jesus was crucified on Golgotha's hill. So that's where our biggest battle is. And remember, the other word for commit is to roll away. And they said they couldn't get this roll away off of their mind. And it would put something on their mind. And they went to a person and had a conversation about something that happened years and years ago. And it set them free. It set them free. And you could see it. They were jumping up and down. They were sitting so free. I've been talking about this every week, but it just now, boom. You see that? When you stay committed, that's what happens. Freedom. He'll roll it away. Remember, the word commit means to roll away, and it was when a camel would be on a journey, and he would get on his knees, and they'd say the camel's being committed. He'd take that baggage. They'd take it off of him. They'd roll it off, go be refreshed, so he could continue the journey. Every day, we should go to God, give him our burdens and roll them away. And when we do that, remember, it says in Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and he will establish your thought. You see, when you commit your works to the Lord, now he's going to establish your thoughts. In other words, the devil won't have nothing for you at work. Boss, the worker, co-worker, nothing. Because God's establishing your thoughts. You see that? Because you've committed it to him. That's huge. That frees you to be you in spite of what's going on at work. And you can keep serving the Lord as unto the Lord regardless. And now you can be you because you began your day and you committed it. That right there will change your world. He says, trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. Whatever the burden was. You may see it differently. You may remove it. Whatever. He says, commit your way. This is what we got to understand. And we're not here to do things our way. We're here to do it his way. He says in 1 Samuel 22, the Lord's way is perfect. And when you do it his way, he establishes you. In Psalms 1, it says that they will be prosperous. And then it says, but the ungodly are not so. For they are like the chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sit in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. You see, when we do it his way, what you're doing is going to last forever. Catching that? Go with me to Galatians 5. We've been talking about the flesh, remember? And we went over all those works of the flesh. Remember, the flesh profits nothing. The Spirit gets things done and accomplished. But the fruit of the Spirit, love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Fruit, this word fruit is karpos, the Greek word. I have to understand Greek and Hebrew because that's what the Bible's written in. So if I'm going to rightly divide it and help us all understand it, we got to go there, right? So fruit is healthy, beneficial, and delicious, right? Fruit describes the fruit of plants, the fruit of trees, the fruit of one's body, children, or offspring, right? So regardless whether it's a plant, an animal, or a human, all fruit is produced from some kind of seed. Remember last week we talked about if you're born again, you've been born again not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. And then if you remember, through the Word of God. Remember, I had a balloon, and I blew up the balloon, and I breathed into it. That's what the word inspire means, inspiration, to breathe into. So I was inspired, and I blew up the balloon. And my DNA out of me went into that bloom, formed it into what it was created to be. That's what God's word is. All scripture is inspired, God breathed. And when you speak it, it gets into people through a seed of his DNA in you and helps you to become what he created you to be. You cannot be formed into what he created you to be without it. That's why he says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't allow the world, in other words, conform means to press into a mold. Don't let the world press you into a mold to be something you're not. Now think about this. Regardless whether it's a plant, animal, or human, all fruit is produced from some kind of seed. Where there's no seed, there is no fruit. Where there's no seed, there's no fruit. So if you came in here feeling like nobody loves you, what you've been planting? What kind of seed are you planting? If you came in here angry and upset and full of resentment, that's fruit too. Ooh, this makes sense. Listen, and the kind of seed that is sown determines the fruit that will be produced. Give me Genesis 1, 11 and 12. Then God said, let the earth bring forth its grass, the herbs that yield seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on earth. And it was so. So now look, apples produce apples. Oranges produce oranges. Dogs always produce dogs. Cats always produce cats. Humans produce humans. The character of the seed determines the fruit, the outcome. The moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior by faith, God sowed his spirit and word into your heart like a seed. And you were spiritually born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Apples produce apples. Oranges produce oranges. God's seed inside of you immediately began to produce God in you. The kind of seed always determines the outcome. It's a principle God established. You cannot get away from it. You can't escape it. It's the way it is. We should expect our life to yield the fruit of the Spirit, for that is the seed God has sown into your heart. You don't plant orange trees and get watermelons. Understand? You know, I told this story when I was growing up. My dad was from Virginia, and he had a garden. Okay, we lived on a street, you know, Hoover Heights, and he had a garden. You know how you have shrubs in front of your house? People put mulch around and everything. Well, he had shrubs, but he grew vegetables. He had a garden where he grew watermelons, he grew cantaloupes, he grew green beans, tomatoes, all these behind his shrubs. And the people in the neighborhood would make fun of him, but boy, they wouldn't make fun when it come time to come and get something. They liked it because it was always real fresh. Well, I remember he planted a squash right by the front door. And then one day I looked at it. This vine from this squash went from the front door and went through the green beans, the radishes and the cucumbers and the onions and the cantaloupes. Then it turned and went down the other side of the house because he had plants on the side, and went down and went back through the beans and the cabbage and the whatever else he was growing. And then right there was a squash. See that? It went through all these other plants that showed up, a squash. What's your point? No matter what environment, no matter where you are, whatever you're planting, it's going to show up. Are you getting this? I remember having that conversation with my dad, and it blew my mind. How come this thing went down and all the way down, and there it is? I just didn't understand it. He tried to explain it to me. I sometimes still don't understand it. That's the way it is. Is this making sense? If someone wants to grow watermelons, you're going to have to plant watermelon seeds. The same principle is spiritual. It's in the spiritual realm. To get what you want, you have to plant the right seed, because seed always produces after its kind. As we allow the Holy Spirit to produce this fruit in us, you will find that people love to be near you because you are a pleasure be around. When I was a little kid, I lived in dysfunction. All of you did too, so don't think you had it all together. You did too. So I lived in this dysfunction. My mom was put into a institution because we thought she was a paranoid schizophrenic. So I spent a lot of time even by myself, but I loved to go to my grandmother's house in Virginia, my dad's parents. We would go there, And I remember as a child, I would dream about going to grandma's. I couldn't wait to go to grandma's. I mean, she was going to bite my ear. She was going to have me chocolate cake with chocolate icing as much as I wanted it all the time, the whole time I'm there. Never get yelled. I mean, just always giving me some love. Is this making sense? This wasn't happening at home. I mean, my dad did the best he could, but, you know, he was by himself trying to raise all the other kids. So here I am. I'm down there 1 year, and I'm by myself. I think I'm 5 or 6, you know. I can't recall exactly what year. But I get up in the middle of the night. I had to go to the bathroom. So I go into the kitchen, because the kitchen was between, the bedrooms were on this side, and then you had the kitchen. And then the one bedroom, my dad, grandparents' bedroom, was on next to the kitchen. So I heard my grandmother making biscuits out here with a wood stove. That's the way she did. And so she's making these biscuits. Then my grandpa, he wakes up and he comes out of the kitchen. And I got one eye. I'm looking. I'm watching everything they're doing. So I'm watching them. He comes across. And he pinches her in the butt. You know, she's good. And I'm like, I swear. Then she turns around and she embraces him. I thought, I've never seen this before. And from that moment, I said, that's what I want. And I'm being as honest as I can be. There's not many days since then that have gone by that I don't think about, that's what I want. Pay attention. Here's another. You know, I wet the bed. I wet the bed till I was 7th grade. People would make fun of that. I'd go to my friends and do that, and then they don't want me to come back day or night anymore because of wetting the bed. That's a psychological thing because of problems up under the roof. Are you listening to me? But I would go there at grandma's. She would come tiptoeing in the middle of the night. Ready? I'd go to the bathroom. Okay, grandma. I would go. And sometimes I wouldn't wet the bed. Sometimes I did. Never heard a word about it. Nobody even knew that it happened to grandma. Pay attention. I'm sitting there watching my grandpa come by. Here's my grandmother. She embraces him. And I'm like, wow. Psalms 34:7 says this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I was tasting fruit from their love and their relationship with God. And they didn't even know. I saw something I'd never seen before. Revelation was deposited in me. That's who God is. This is what we're supposed to be serving. And you know what? When you do that, people don't forget it because there's something on it from God. Are you listening to me? That's why you should love your spouse. You should show them. I don't care if you got to pinch them twice. Give it to them up in the kitchen and put your arms around them. Because if children are what? You know what? If you're always arguing, you are pushing those kids away from God. Strife breeds rebellion. This is what I'm trying to help you understand because we're getting ready to go somewhere. When you serve, people want what you're serving. You see that? I couldn't wait to get to grandma's. Man, I was going to give me some love. This wasn't happening at the house like that. I remember I would tell my friends about that. I'd get everybody wanted to go with me to Virginia because they just thought, man, something going on down there, you know? Because I'd come back all pumped and telling them, it's like I was preaching, but I didn't even know what I was talking about. You know, but this love is down there. There's something going on down there, you know? But this is in every one of us. And when we tap into it, you can make it like that. But you got to be aware of that. This is so big. People will want to come back around you because of what you're serving. Luscious fruit. Listen, this is why we don't want to give away the flesh and allow it to produce its ugly work in our life. Instead, if we will yield to the Spirit and allow the seed of God's Spirit and the Word to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you are the one who makes the ultimate decision, who is going to rule in you. Choose wisely. Did you hear me? Choose wisely. Do you want to walk in the cruel, hard, bitter works of the flesh? Resentment, unforgiveness, discouragement, betrayal? Or would you prefer to mortify the deeds of the flesh and allow the Holy Spirit to produce His divine fruit in you? You choose the path that you take. You do. Listen, there's 5 loves in the Bible. I'm going to go over these quickly. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love. This first part, this first word for love is not even mentioned in the Bible. It's eros. Eros. Remember, so here's the 5 loves. Eros, storge, philia, thermos, and agape. Agape is the one God is producing in you. Agape. I'm going to start out with eros. Listen to me. Eros is the Greek term for sexual love. This is where we get the word erotic. Erotic. The Greek culture, this word referred to sensual, carnal impulses to satisfy sexual desires of the flesh. Remember, your flesh profits nothing. It's empty. Empty. Nothing. This word eros comes from the word E-R-A-O. Isn't that something I just said where there's an error? If you respond with an error, you create an error. I like that. This word error, which comes from the word eros, which means to ask, to beg, or to demand. So this confirms that eros love is not a giving type of love. Rather, it denotes a sexual demand. It is not a love that seeks to give or to please someone, but it's a carnal impulse love that seeks to fulfill its own desires. It's interesting that the word never appears once in the New Testament, not even in the context of marriage. Even in Greek culture, this word, eros, represented a carnal, raw, base, low-level craving, yearning, an ache, or an appetite for sexual fulfillment. This type of love is so flesh-based and so removed from the level of love that God expects of believers that it is never included in the New Testament. Regardless of whether the context is friendship, brotherhood, or romance, all believers are urged to continue operating from the perspective of agape love. Agape love, which is the love more focused on giving than it is receiving. Because the word eros primarily describes a self-satisfying, self-gratifying, self-seeking, self-pleasing type of sexual appetite found mainly in unbelievers or those who are focused on themselves. It is not the type of love that as believers we should aspire in our marital lives. Eros. Now this second love is storge. Storge is a love for mothers for children, or it's the love of family relationship. It pictures love that exhibits between parents and children, or the love that exists between family members. Consequently, the idea of this word storge is the word devotion. And in 2 Timothy 3, it talks about that they were without natural affection. Children were disobedient to their parents. In other words, he's saying this love is deteriorating in the times we're in, the perilous times, the last days. It's deteriorating. Strong family ties and devotion to one's family will deteriorate. That's storge. Now we got filio love. This describes affection. Affection between a boyfriend and a girlfriend. The idea of two or more people, they feel compatible. It describes the attributes of friendship. It is not the representation of the highest form of love, which is agape. There are six words that are derived from the word filio. Philadelphia, brotherly love. Philodonos, it's the Greek word. It means the love of pleasure. Philoxenos, it's the compound word, and it means strangers or foreigners. Hospitable. In other words, you're hospitable to the people coming to your house who don't come around all the time, or there may be some strangers coming over. You're hospitable. You're showing them philoxenos. Philant, that's the love of mankind. You ever heard of philanthropists? You give money. Philaguros, that means the love of money. It means silver, the love of money. This is a problem. God doesn't say it's the love of money. He says that money's not the root of evil. It's the love of money. I'm going to tell you, if that's one of your problems, you need to repent and get in line with God in this area of your life, because this world system is going in a direction. You better have you you better be reigning a little bit in this area of your life. You better watch your charge car. You better get rid of them. You better get things. You better be tithing. That's what you need to do. You need to tithe, and then God can put his protection over your finances. Now, this is not a tithing message, and you don't hear me beat people over with giving. I'm trying to help you so you can reign in life. Because there's going to be people who are going to need help. And if you aren't reigning, you're not going to be able to help anybody. You're not even going to be able to help yourself. philosophy. This is the love of wisdom. I think man's wisdom, not God's wisdom. God's wisdom is what we need. And agape is God's wisdom. See, that's what we need. We need God's wisdom, and we need the agape love of God. Now, thermos is a passionate love. It's anger. In other words, anger is really love reversed. When you get angry, you get the angry the most at the person you love. Nobody's ever done that, but that's what it means. But it literally keeps things warm. This is where we get the word thermos. Keeps cold or warm, but it's passion. Now, here's the agape love. Now we're going to talk about the agape love. This is the one we're after. This is the one God has called us to. This is the one that God is developing in all of us if we yield to it. 1 John 4:8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, agape, high level of agape. Now listen, agape love sees and recognizes and understands and appreciates the value of the person, causing the viewer to behold the person in great esteem, awe, and admiration and wonder and sincere appreciation. That's the way we're supposed to be with people. Your co-workers, you see that? You're supposed to give them back better. You know, I told the last service, I said, sometimes, you know, I hear this, I don't deserve this. I just don't deserve this the way they're treating me. Or I don't deserve this the way my spouse is treating me, my wife or my husband. You know, if there's physical abuse, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve it. But picking up after them, or, you know what? Listen to me. You know what we really deserve? We really deserve to go to hell, all of us. God demonstrates his love, his agape. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So we need to get that mentality, I don't deserve this. That right there will keep you out of the will of God. I don't deserve this. I understand. I help make provisions. If it's a physical abusive situation, you need to get out of it. But in general, you don't deserve it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's the agape. Agape will even sacrifice, listen, agape love will even sacrifice itself for the sake of the person that it so deeply cherishes. Agape is the highest form of love. In contrast, eros love is a self-seeking love. Storge is limited to family. Philia is based on mutual satisfaction. Thermos is based on passion. Agape is based on nothing but God. And there's no strings attached. No strings. It isn't looking for what it can get, but for what it can give. That's what agape does. It's awe. Listen, it's in awe of the one who is loved, that it is compelled to shower love upon that person regardless of the response. This is the profound love of God that God has for the human race. He loved man when he was still lost in sin, with no ability to love him back. That's the way we're supposed to. We're to always give back better than what people are giving us. God simply loved mankind without thought or expectation of receiving love in return. Listen to me. When you love such a love with this agape that you expect nothing back in return, it is impossible. Listen, it is impossible for you to feel hurt or be let down. That's why it says in Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God. The word keep is guard. Guard, shield, and protect yourself is love. Get a hold of this. It is impossible for you to feel hurt, let down by the response of the recipient of your love. You say you love somebody? You don't love them for the purpose of getting something in return. You shower them with love simply because you love them. This kind of love is so much higher than eros, storge, philia, or thermos. It's a love that loves simply and purely. It's the God kind of love. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The Bible says that love rejoices in the truth, which tells us that when agape is at work, it is a force, it is a power so strong that it demonstrates itself with deeds and actions. That is not an empty love that talks about it does something. It is a love that does something. This is God's love. This is what we're all required to live by. Listen to me. Just as God loved us, then did something to save us from our lost and sinful condition. This is the love he tells us to follow after. 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, pursue love. It means to follow, to chase like you're a hunter chases an animal and catches and captures his game. That's the way you're supposed to chase this love. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of faith and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, but have not love, I am nothing. Though I give everything I have to the poor, and I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. He's talking about the agape love. What you do through any other love other than the agape doesn't profit. When you do it through his love, it accomplishes. It increases after the exchange. For eternity. You see that? That's why it's so important that we understand that we're there to express on our jobs, in our families, express the image of Christ. You see that? We're to demonstrate his love. Oh, listen. This love does not come easy. This love is a high level of love. God is always calling us to a higher calling. We must wholly, hotly pursue this love. It must be the focus and aim of our lives. If agape is the basis of your sexual relationship, listen to me. If agape is the basis of your sexual relationship with your spouse instead of eros, you will always seek to serve and please your spouse rather than being self-centered and focused on your own needs. If agape is the basis of your family relationships rather than storge, listen, you will always remain devoted to your family, regardless of the disappointments that may occur along the way. Just like I told you, somebody can leave you and divorce you. When you get up in this agape, they can walk away and they have no real reason to do it. They can betray you. You're going to be betrayed in life. But when you're in this agape, they can come in and you're okay. You're free. Not even negative thoughts. See that? That's power. That only comes from God. And that's the power of his love. Listen to me. He says we've been delivered from the powers of darkness. The word darkness is ignorance. That's why we got to increase in our understanding. In Proverbs 4:7, he says, in all you're getting, get understanding. He's saying whatever it costs you, whatever you're invested in that house, whatever you're invested in that woman or that man or career, he says you need to take that and invest it in understanding who you are. When you understand yourself that way, now you're becoming who God created you to be, and you're doing his will. Now listen, he says we've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love, agape, translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins through his blood. For Jesus was the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things that are visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. That word consist holds together. When you're in him and you're in his love, everything's going to hold together. Are you getting this today? And he says, he is the head of the church. You say, I don't want to go to church. The next verse says, he's the head of the church and the body.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.